There are moments as a pastor when I think I have the best job in the world. Once a week I get to stand up and I get to brag to you about the best thing that's ever happened to me and the greatest person that I've ever known. And I trust that as the worship team has led us in that worship, thank you, worship team, for that. And Michael and Emmanuel for that special music. It all just kind of took us into the presence of Jesus, didn't it? Like, thank you guys for that. We're in 1 Thessalonians this morning. My sermon for this Sunday is based in the book of 1 Thessalonians, out of this last chapter of faith and thanksgiving. And as you flip there, or in your Bibles, or in your apps, I'll just let you know, I'm titling my sermon today, Always, Really? And just for some of you who might be concerned, this is not part of our sermon series on sex and sexuality. So some of you might be disappointed by that too. But either way, this morning you can kind of relax, because my title is much more about the idea of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. On giving thanks always. 1 Thessalonians 5. Always be joyful. Always. Never stop praying. Never. Be thankful in all circumstances. All of them. Because this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. As we're looking at this week and just that whole idea of belonging to Christ Jesus, I just want to say this morning. As a church, the reason we gather, the reason we exist, is to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, eternal God, God's beloved Son. He was also fully human, and he came to earth many, many years ago, lived a historical life. It's all factual and there in the historical records. He lived a sinless life. No one could find any fault in him. And he volunteered to die for our sins. He didn't just die a martyr's death as a seditious rebel to the Roman Empire. His death had a deeper meaning. Because he was perfect, he took our sin. And Scripture tells us that the wages of our sin is death. And he took that. And because he took that, you and I have this glorious opportunity to escape the repercussions of our own decisions. All it takes is that moment of faith where you say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are who you said you were. I believe that you did what you said you did. I believe you died for my sins and you rose on the third day. And if you do that, then this free gift of salvation will actually change your eternity, and it will actually change the person that you are and the person that you're becoming. So if you haven't done that, man, I hope that in this worship service today you get that. Even if you don't get anything else out of the worship service, I hope you hear the voice of sweet Jesus calling you, wanting to have that relationship with you. And if you have any questions about that, Pastor Darren and I, one of the elders, will talk to you. There's lots of people that would just gladly want to introduce you to our faithful friend Jesus. All right, I just felt like I needed to say that. That has nothing to do with my sermon. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, and everything to do with my sermon. So, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for those of you who belong to Him in Christ Jesus, right? These three imperatives are written in Greek in the present tense, meaning that they're ongoing, continuous action. Keep on rejoicing. Keep on praying. Keep on being thankful. Over 100 years ago, Scottish theologian James Denny called this short passage of Scripture the standing orders for the church. And Denny writes this: however various the circumstances that Christians find themselves in, the duties here prescribed are always binding on them. We are to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything to give thanks. We may live in peaceful or in troubled times. We may be encompassed by friends or beset by foes. We may see the path open easily before us or find our inclination thwarted at every step. But we must always have the music of the gospel in our hearts in its proper key. We must always have the music of the gospel in our hearts in its proper key. Is the music of the gospel ringing in your hearts this morning? This is God's desire for all His children, in all places, at all times, in all circumstances. There has never been a moment since Paul first put pen to parchment and the Holy Spirit started breathing God's words through him. There's never been a moment where these words did not apply. This is God's will for you. This is how God wants you to live. This is the way that He desires you to act and to think and to be. This is the kind of person that He wants you to become. Someone who is always joyful. Someone who never stops praying. Someone who is thankful in all circumstances. Always? Really? Yeah. Really. So let's just take a brief look this morning, this Thanksgiving Sunday, at each one of these standing orders of the gospel. First of all, be cheerful, no matter what. Eugene Peterson's translation. Be full of joy all the time, the New Living Bible. Be happy in your faith, said J.B. Phillips. His translation came just after World War II. And my personal favorite, Young's literal translation, rejoice evermore, ye! Don't you just love that? Yeah. For those of you who love Bible trivia, this is actually a great verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. You see, the majority of Christians believe that the shortest verse in the Bible is John 11:35. Jesus wept. How many of you have heard someone say that? The shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. That's actually not true. You see, John 11:35 in the Greek is actually three words. Jesus wept, and it's 16 letters. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 in the Greek, pantote kairete, is two words, 14 letters. So you're welcome to go home from now and annoy all of your friends with that useless little piece of Bible trivia. I don't know what spiritual bearing it will have. I don't know if it'll make you a better person, but there it is, free for the taking. Rejoice always. Now, I struggle with this verse. Some of you are learning that your lead pastor, me, struggles with bouts of depression. I have times in my life where it's difficult for me to get out of bed in the morning, to put one foot in front of the other, and to just get on with my day. I do. The black dog stalks me, as Winston Churchill used to put it. The black dog stalks me. Joy often feels like it's far away. And for those of you who struggle with depression or anxiety, this verse, this command can feel totally out of reach sometimes, can't it? Always be joyful. Nice try, buddy. That's impossible. But you know what? I'm learning that even in my depression, maybe especially in my depression, the real impact of the gospel has this deep, abiding joy. It's down there somewhere. It's not always easy to find, but it's there. It's not a joy in where I currently am in a dark valley. It's a joy that remembers high mountains. A joy that remembers sunshiny days. A joy that remembers beautiful music. And it's a joy that hopes for the mountains and the sunshine and the music that God has promised will be my future eternally. You see, joy looks back and it remembers Jesus. And it remembers that I am loved. Remember the angels showing up at the shepherd's wiener roast saying, hey, we bring you glad tidings of great joy, for today in the city of David a Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord. Right? You guys probably have that memorized in the King James Version in the voice of Linus from Peanuts, right? I need to have a blanket over my shoulder when I'm saying that. Yeah. This is the resounding joy of the gospel. This is the truth of the good news that Jesus comes to us. He reaches down to us in our darkness. That he picks us up in our brokenness. That he carries us in our depression. Not that he waits for us to drag ourselves out of it, but that he steps down into it. He came down to my level when I couldn't get up to his. With strong arms, he lifted me up, showing me what living is.
Some of you are going to be singing that all afternoon. None of you know what I'm talking about. Next. Joy is possible even in depression because Jesus has saved me. And I may not feel that in my emotions, but I know it in my soul. And so I look back and I remember Jesus. And joy looks ahead and anticipates Jesus. On the wall in my office, Elise painted Romans 12:12, and it starts with joy. Be joyful in hope. And hope can be a long ways away for a person struggling with anxiety and depression. How long, O Lord, we ask ourselves, right? Just like David did in Psalm 13, just like Habakkuk does in Habakkuk 1:3, just like Asaph does in Psalm 79. These are men of God who are struggling and saying, how long, O Lord? And the answer to that question is always difficult because it's always going to be longer than we want it to be. And also, not as long as we think it's going to be. But there is an answer. And that's the beauty of that question. It's difficult to wait. It's difficult to struggle through. But there is an answer. That's the hope. The struggle will end. The dark valley will be crossed. The sun will shine again. The music will play again. And when it does so, it will do so forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Revelation 21:3 says, I heard a loud voice shouting from the throne. Now, who's sitting on the throne? Sunday school answer. God, thank you. God is sitting on the throne. So who's shouting here? God is. I heard a loud voice shouting from the throne. This is God Himself saying this. Behold, God's home is now among His people. He'll live with them. They'll be His family. He'll wipe away their tears. He'll remove death and sorrow and crying and pain and anxiety and depression. These things are gone forever. He makes all things new. And so I hope this truth just resonates this morning with those of you who need that encouragement, who are finding it difficult to be thankful on this Thanksgiving morning. And for some of you, you're living with someone who struggles with dark places. You're living with somebody who goes into these places in their brain, and you're thinking to yourself, what can I even say to this person? How can I even help them? And I just want to thank you, because those of us who struggle with depression, sometimes we find that we borrow faith from other people. And so your faith is what carries those of us who struggle. And I just want to thank you for those of you, especially those of you who have the gift of faith. Like, man, never stop bragging about how good God is, even to someone who doesn't want to hear it, because part of them still wants to hear it. All right? So thank you. It is a precious gift that you lend to us, your faith. Always be joyful. This is God's plan for you. It's His design for your life. It's the good news that He brought in Jesus' incarnation. It's the one thing that we hang on to when everything else seems lost. It's the future that He's bringing to pass when Jesus returns for us. Always be joyful. Standing order number two, never stop praying. J.B. Phillips. Pray all the time. Eugene Peterson's Message, constantly pray, the Net Bible. And my personal favorite, continually pray, yee! You guys are having fun with this, right? I like this idea, never stop praying. Pray without ceasing, because it actually presupposes that we're already praying. It's like, oh goodness, I better start, right? Does that mean to pray without ceasing? Should every single thought that I have, every spoken word, be a prayer directed to the Lord? Like, I'm here preaching. Should I be praying instead of preaching to you guys? In a sense, the answer to that is yes. If prayer is viewed broadly, then our entire life is a prayer that is offered up to God. And you know, I was kind of thinking about this week because I was talking with someone who's in a very non-Christian environment for the first time in a long time. And it's difficult sometimes to be in those places where people all around you are using the name of the Lord in vain. Like some of you have that as part of your week, right? You work with people who treat God's name like it's punctuation. And that's a difficult thing when it's someone that you love so much and they're treating it like it's nothing. But I want to share this thought that I had with you this week. You know, because when you're in a crowded room and everyone's talking and someone says your name, you have this amazing ability to pick your name out of this whole conversation, don't you? And so I like to think that for those people that are in my life that don't know Jesus, that are using his name like that, they're actually calling his attention to themselves. And that's a good thing. And so whenever I hear that, I just quietly pray in my own heart, Lord, I can't wait for the day when they say your name in love and reverence and awe. Your name is an amazing name. So that's one of my prayers. This week I was also reading about this guy named John Sergey. First encountered some of his writings when Elaine and I went to Ukraine in 1994. John Sergey was born in 1917 in Chicago. In his teens, he organized outdoor revival meetings. He got his bachelor's and his master's degree in music from Northwestern University. Amazing singing voice. He attended Moody Bible Institute and was ordained as a minister there. He had a deep love for the Soviet Union. He broadcast a daily radio program into the heart of communism called Words of Hope. You can still find those online, and they're really kind of cool. Words of Hope. People who had no access to Bibles or to the gospel came to Jesus through the radio ministry of John Sergey. He began organizing yearly trips into the Soviet Union, once a year smuggling God's Word, Bibles, in across the border, in for people who had no Bibles, putting himself in jeopardy and endangering himself so that people would have the Word of God. He began doing that. He was the director of the World Fellowship of Slavic Evangelical Christians for 6 decades. For 60 years, he served as a leader of that organization. He was married to his sweetheart, Helen, for 64 years. He raised 5 kids, had 15 grandkids, and numerous more great-grandchildren at the time of his passing. He passed Jesus on to the 3rd and 4th generation of his own family. And yet, you know what? At his funeral in 2008, you know what people were talking about? They weren't talking about anything that he did. They were talking about him being a man of prayer. That's all they talked about at his funeral, from the men who worked beside him, who prayed with him, to his own great-grandchildren who would come into the room, the living room, at like 6 a.m. and Grandpa John would be on his knees praying. Ray Pritchard says this, "I will tell you what I will miss about John Sergey. I will miss his prayers. He had a voice like the voice of God. And when he prayed, he brought the entire church into the presence of God. He loved to pray, and he prayed all the time." Think about that for a moment. Here's this guy in his 91 years, witnesses the rise and fall of world empires, builds a radio ministry that reaches millions, establishes churches, trains pastors, leads thousands of people to Christ. And what do they talk about at his funeral? His prayers. I want that. I think that's a good thing to be jealous of, don't you? I want that. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to be a person whose life is so intertwined with God's life that every aspect of me becomes saturated in him. And when the story of my life is told or when my obituary is read, people just say, "That dude prayed. Man, that guy prayed." Pray continually. Never stop praying. Can't stop, won't stop. Standing order number 3. Be thankful in all circumstances. In everything, give thanks. New American Standard. Thank God no matter what happens. The Message. Keep on thanking God because of Jesus Christ. Contemporary English Version. And my personal favorite, Young's Literal. In everything, give thanks. Yay! You guys, you're so disappointing me right now. It actually doesn't even say that in the Young's Literal Translation. I don't know why they didn't follow through and do it all 3 times, because it's actually the Greek verb, but hey, it's okay. It's actually not the verbs that give us trouble in this passage of Scripture, right? We probably all rejoice sometimes. We probably all pray sometimes. We're probably all thankful sometimes. It's not the verbs. It's the modifiers that trip us up, right? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Be thankful in all circumstances. I have to confess to you, I haven't fully worked out what that looks like in my life. I think I'm on a journey and in process, and this is becoming a little bit more a part of who I am, but maybe I'm not there yet. How do we give thanks when our hearts are broken? How do we give thanks when we're confused by what's going on around us? How do we give thanks when we're angry at what we see sin doing in our world? Things happen that don't make any sense to us. We can't trace God's hand in every circumstance because we're part of the painting. We don't have the perspective to see the canvas is just so much bigger and broader than our own little minuscule perception as one little part of this amazing masterpiece. But giving thanks in everything, giving thanks when we don't see or understand, giving thanks when we're dazed and confused and hurting, this is an act of faith. And what it does is it recognizes that there is a God who is sovereign. There's a God who is in control, even when, especially when, I am not. God's in control. Man, don't we need that truth in our world now more than ever? God's in control. Someone once said, although the clouds may briefly cover them, stars continue to shine. It's been a cloudy week. Although the clouds may briefly cover them, the stars continue to shine. And so I took some time this week to think about some of the stars that shine, some of the music that I still hear, some of the mountains that are still there behind the clouds. I'm going to list a whole bunch of truths about God, things that we know to be true from Scripture, and I want you just to close your eyes and listen to them. And if one or two of them strike you, if you're taking notes, you can write them down. I came up with 38 this week. I could have come up with more. Here's why we can be thankful. We give thanks that God is sovereign. He is in control. And all those other people aren't. We give thanks that nothing happens by chance. We are so much more than the random collision of molecules. Nothing happens by chance. We give thanks that God causes all things to work together for good for His children. Isn't that good to know? Thank you, Lord. We give thanks that hard times reveal our weaknesses, break our pride, and show us how desperately and totally we need God. Okay, if you can be thankful for that, you're a better saint than I am. I wrote it down. I'm not entirely sure that I lived that one. We give thanks that God has triumphed over sin and death through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a done deal. We've been picked to be on the winning side. We give thanks that God uses the worst things that happen to promote our spiritual growth. No matter what it is that you are going through, God can use that to bring you closer to Him. We give thanks that God is faithful, even when we are faithless. Isn't that so good that His acceptance and love of you does not depend on your response to Him, but on His character? I'm so thankful for that. I'm also thankful for that with my wife, that she made a promise to God that had no conditions attached, and so even when she doesn't like me very much, she still has to love me. God is faithful, even when we are faithless. We give thanks that God's word will be vindicated. God's word is rapidly becoming a hate crime, hate literature in our society. It will be vindicated. It is true. We give thanks that God's promises are true. The things that He's promised will come to pass. While we're waiting for them, we give thanks that they will come to pass. We give thanks that evil will not reign forever. It's a temporary thing. We give thanks that heaven is real. Heaven is real. We give thanks that this world is not the real world. Oh man, I'm so glad that all of that is just fake and plastic and wood, hay, and stubble. Right? This world is not the real world. We give thanks that when we're weak, He's strong. It's like having a ringer on your baseball team. LeBron James on your pickup basketball team. We give thanks that His grace is sufficient for every situation. He just pours it out, right? For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. That's pretty cool. We give thanks that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing that you can do, nothing that you can say, nothing that happens to you. Your salvation is secure in Christ Jesus. We give thanks that our salvation rests on God and not on us. We give thanks that there is no pit so deep that the love of God is not deeper still. See, you're digging pits with a little kid sand shovel. And Jesus owns a backhoe. There's no pit you can dig. It's going to be deeper than He can. We give thanks that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. Every sin. That boggles my mind. I'm probably going to go home today and tell a lie or use coarse language or do something I shouldn't. It's already covered. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from every sin. I give thanks that God delights to save sinners. He likes doing that. Like, most of us don't like hanging around sinners, right? It's like so exhausting. Jesus delights in it. We give thanks that the Lord can soften the hardest heart. For those of you that have prodigals in your life, people that are running from God as hard as they can, are you not thankful for that? Are you not thankful that God can soften the hardest heart? We give thanks that there are no lost causes or impossible cases with God. We give thanks that even when we feel alone, we're not alone. I'm a bit of an introvert. I get drained being with people, but I also don't like the word alone. I like to get alone with God. I'm never alone. That's the promise He gave me. We give thanks that our Father will not test us beyond what we can bear. Whatever it is that you're going through, He's putting it in your life as a test for you to pass, so that He can celebrate with you and you can move on to something else. We give thanks that the Holy Spirit abides with us always. Like, the Holy Spirit is nearer to me right now than any of you. And He's nearer to you right now than the person sitting beside you who has His arm around you. This is so cool that the Holy Spirit is just right there. We give thanks that the Lord Jesus feels our pain. And like, He knows. He knows what you're going through. We give thanks that the Holy Spirit prays for us when we are too weak to pray for ourselves. You ever had those moments when you go to prayer and you just like, no words will even come? It's just so cool to me that the Holy Spirit goes, hey, dude, I'll take it from here. You got no words, it's all right. Give thanks to the Lord Jesus as the high priest and intercessor. He prays for us. It's one of the things that He's been doing since He returned to heaven, praying for us before the throne of grace. Oh, man. I have some friends that like to pray, and they think that they should pray through one of the saints or through Mary, and that Mary will just go tap Jesus on the shoulder and say, hey, Jesus, can you come look after this? Like, Mary was a great woman, a woman of God, but at no point do we need to pray to her. Why would you pray to Mary when you can pray to Jesus? It just doesn't make sense to me. We're thankful that God uses everything and wastes nothing. What is it in your life that you think He's wasted right now? I think you've wasted some years, wasted some time at a job. It's not wasted. God will bring it into pass. And give thanks that our doubts cannot cancel God's work. Give thanks that someday we will be conformed to the image of Christ. That's so cool to me. We're going to look like Him. We're going to act like Him. We're going to talk like Him. That is really awesome. He's like the big brother that you always look up to and you want to be just like Him. And that's going to happen. When He appears, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We give thanks that God is faithful to finish his work in us. He started it, he'll finish it. We give thanks that our hardships allow us to minister to others. It's one of the reasons he allows us to go through dark times, so that we can look around and help other people who are going through dark times. I've seen this happen in my life in the last 2 years. I've had this incredible ministry to other pastors because of some of the stuff that I had to walk through, and it's just been kind of cool. Give thanks that we're invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. Like sometimes you just go, oh, I'm such a terrible person. How could he want to have anything to do with me? And he just says, come, like I'm your dad. I already know what you've done. You might as well just come anyways and tell me about it. Just crawl up on my lap. I'm never too busy for you. Give thanks that God's plans far exceed our puny imaginations. You ever have those moments when you're making your plans and God has other plans and you're like super frustrated with them? Like, what are you doing? You're supposed to just rubber stamp what I'm doing. And God goes, no, I got something better. I give thanks that weeping endures for a night. Joy comes in the morning. We give thanks that we're still God's children even when our faith falters. We give thanks that while we suffer outwardly, we are being renewed inwardly. I'm starting to get old. Bones are starting to get creaky. Things are starting to not work when I get out of bed first thing in the morning. This body's starting to waste away, but inwardly, I'm being renewed day by day. That's just so cool. We give thanks that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory. That's pretty cool too. And whatever it is that you're going through, if it's something that you've been struggling with for years, a physical problem, if it's something that's a new diagnosis and a new chapter in your life, if it's a hurt or a pain that you don't even feel comfortable sharing with anyone else, all of these things we bring to the throne of grace, and they become things that have a depth and a meaning and a beauty and a relevance and a purpose to them. The eternal weight of glory. Eugene Peterson nicely captures the meaning of verse 18 in this way. Thank God, no matter what happens, this is the way God wants you who belong to Jesus Christ to live. I like that phrase, no matter what happens, because it perfectly describes life in a fallen world. Stuff happens. Bad stuff happens. Really bad stuff happens to some very good people. Even the most joyful people know their share of sorrow. And some people seem to receive far more than their share. Like, you ever have a Charlie Brown friend? I have one. They're just like, dude, man, wow. You got big shoulders. There's no escaping this reality when we live in this sin-cursed world. Like, you thought it was going to be easy? Come on, what? And then left to ourselves, the pain of life can drive us to bitterness and hopelessness and despair. It's all going to pot. Jesus is like, yeah, of course I said it was going to all go to pot. We're in Canada, so that's what Justin Trudeau is trying to do, right? We're all going to go to pot. Sorry. When we consciously and deliberately factor God into the equation, when we rest on the solid rock of his sovereignty, then and only then do we have the grounds to say, thank you, Lord. No matter what happens, thank you, Lord. I am not suggesting that this is easy. Only that it is absolutely necessary. The alternative is pretty bleak. Some of you walk to the edge of the abyss and you appear over the edge, and you know what life without Christ looks like. This morning I want to do something real and practical as we take this short little passage and move into application. You might not know it, but this morning God wants to use you to be a preacher. God wants you to be a pastor to someone, to preach the Word of God to someone else. Remember how Pastor Darren asked you to take one of those care cards and ask the Holy Spirit to bring someone to your attention? You did that at the beginning of the... Yeah, I know. You guys all just tucked them right back in the pew in front of you, didn't you? All right, pull them out now. Pull them now, every single one of you. Because this is the moment. You see, in the last year and a half that I've been here as a pastor, I've received a whole bunch of these care cards. I've received Mabel and Scott and Rachel Weave and Dave, and from an anonymous person, and people that just continually write me notes of, this is my personal favorite, "Hi, Pastor Nick, I'm glad you're back," from Evan Clausen. Hey, I'm going to keep that even though he's moved to Meadow Lake. That's super cool. And I keep these things. I have a little file where I pull them out regularly because I need to encourage myself. And these things are just like life to me. They're like little hugs from Jesus. So for those of you who have faithfully encouraged your pastor this last year, man, I just want to say thank you. Please don't stop. All right? But this is not for this morning. I don't want you to pick Pastor Darren or Pastor Nick. We've been encouraging each other all week. Is that right? Amen, brother. Okay, good. I want you to lend your faith to someone else this morning. I want you to fill out a care card, and I just want you to start with those three little things. Dear so-and-so, I'm thankful for you. You can write out some specific and personal things that you're thankful for. Are they in a ministry that you appreciate? Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful when they did or said something that encouraged you? Did you catch somebody doing something that nobody else saw? Like, we had a wedding in here yesterday, and I have no idea who came in and did all the cleanup. But man, when I got here this morning and we were ready for church, it was just like, even Carrie was here trying to make sure all the sound was in place and that. And a whole bunch of people that just faithfully minister behind the scenes so that I can get up here and tell you how great God is. Thank you for those of you who do that. Are you thankful that they're part of this family of believers? Maybe you don't even know the person very well, but the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to write a thank you note to this person. Just thank them for being a part of this family here at Bridgeway. Just one sentence or two. You don't need to write a whole essay. I'm not going to give it to Andrew Judge for him to mark or anything like that. So. Oh, and by the way, Tim, you have to do this for Lee. Lee and I were talking before the service, and Tim was making some jokes. So I'm teasing him back, and I just turned you into a sermon illustration, Tim. Next, I want you to write out, I'm praying for you. And you can write something specific that you're praying for them for. Are you praying that God will comfort them in a difficult situation? I mean, there's so many of us that go through these quiet hurts, right? And very few people know about them. Maybe you do. Are you praying that their faith will continue to grow through whatever it is that they're going through? Are you praying that God would increase their impact on the world around them? Are you praying that God would encourage their hearts and help them to press on in whatever it is they're going through? Take out a moment to specifically write out how you're praying for them. And then finally, I want you to write out, I'm rejoicing with you. And just write out one thing that you know to be true about God that is a reason for rejoicing. I'm rejoicing that God reunites us with deceased loved ones in heaven so that your parting from your spouse is only temporary. I'm rejoicing that your trials are working glory for you. I'm rejoicing that Jesus understands what you're going through. I'm rejoicing that you're seeing Jesus' victory in this area in your life. I'm rejoicing with you. Please, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, take a moment to preach that into someone else's life. Now, some of you may not get a card today, and that saddens me. I want to do something about that. So, if you don't get a card, there's a sheet of paper on the welcoming desk outside the administrator's office in the foyer, that open area. It's kind of sandwiched in between the senior moments sign-up and the adult Sunday school sign-up. So if you want to put your name down for either one of those things, you can do that too. But if you didn't get a card today and you would like to have one, then I want to write one for you. I would like to return to you some of the encouragements that you guys have given to me. And if you write your name down there, you'll get a card. If you have a church mailbox, it'll probably end up in your mailbox from me. If you leave your email on that sign-up sheet, it'll probably come to you as an email, or your cell number might come as a text. If I have you as a Facebook friend, it might be a Messenger thing. But I don't do Snapchat or Twitter, so those two things are not likely. But if you leave your name, I will do my best to see that you get a card. I did the math. There's maybe 200 of you here today. So if every single one of you writes your name down on that paper out there, that will be about 10 minutes per card. I'm thinking that'll be 34, 35 hours. That'll be pretty much my whole week. So someone else can preach next Sunday, but I kind of think that might not be a bad way to spend a week anyways. So you know what? Even if you get a card and you'd like a word of encouragement from your pastor, write your name down on that list and we'll see how it goes. If there's 200 of you, it might not happen all next week. Just throwing that out there. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for those of you who belong to Christ Jesus. This is God's will for your life. It's what He desires for you. And He always wants what's best for you. God wants you to have a joy that's unceasing, a joy that looks to Him and His promises to you, a joy that resonates throughout your life. God wants you to never stop praying, to bring every part of you to Him in prayer, to become a prayer maniac, a prayer warrior. God wants you to be grateful, to let a thankful heart become part of your character. Bridgeway Community Church, may joyful prayers of thanksgiving fill your hearts and your lives this week and always. Amen. I'm going to give you a minute or two to keep filling out those cards. And we're going to turn to the communion table to close our service. So as we turn to the communion table, I just want to invite the servers and the musician to come forward. I never had anyone else die for me. It was a crazy moment when I first realized that that's what He did for me. And on that dark night, as He was looking forward to His death, His disciples were oblivious to what was going on. They thought He was going to restore the kingdom and be this king. And He said, no, I'm going to do it a little differently if you don't mind. I got a better plan. And he knew that their darkest moment was still ahead of them that Saturday morning when they woke up and He was dead and gone. And so He took this age-old tradition, the Passover meal that had been celebrated in Israel for thousands of years, remembering that miraculous exodus from Egypt and the flight in the middle of the night once we were slaves. And now we are free. He took the meal that celebrated that, and he twisted it a little bit. And He says, here's a new freedom from a slavery that is far more encompassing. The slavery to yourself, to your own sin, to your own choices. This slavery that you have that's going to result in your death. And I'm going to offer you an escape from it through My body. Not through a lamb, through Myself. Michael saying He called Him the lamb whose blood was shed, right? He did that. And He did that so that we could experience this forgiveness, this idea that our slate is wiped clean. We have this new life. We have this new hope. We have new things to be thankful for. And He's preparing an eternity for us that will make these temporary, momentary light afflictions seem like snowflakes in the warmth of His love. And so on the night in which He was betrayed, Jesus took bread and He broke it and He said, this is My body. If you are a follower of Christ, feel free to join with us. You don't have to be a member of this church. Just be a member of God's kingdom. If you're not yet a follower, if you're still exploring some of this, maybe you don't want to participate today. But I sure hope that you'll think about some of the things we've talked about this morning and the importance of Jesus in your life. And if you have questions, man, I'd just love to spend Some of the weeks that I'm not filling out communication cards or care cards, I'll spend some of that time with you, okay? Deal? Perfect. Let's pray. We'll probably never understand the amazing thing that you did at Calvary and how hard it was for you. Like, you sweat drops of blood. You were in such agony and torment. Yet you shouldered it for our sake, for my sin. You pulled yourself up on the nails that pinned you to the tree, and with your last breath, you said, "It is finished." Everything necessary for my salvation was accomplished by you and the cross of Calvary. Jesus, I remember, and I'm thankful. Amen. I receive from the Lord will I also pass on to you. That our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. After he'd given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this and remember." Heavenly Father, some of us work in areas and come into contact with animals and we're familiar with death. We know what it smells like when a living thing dies. And scriptures say that the sacrifices were ongoing in the temple every day. The blood was running. None of it was sufficient. There was no bull pure enough, no lamb spotless enough to cover the sins. Only you. We don't fully understand how shed blood cleanses us. It's an image that makes some of us uncomfortable. We don't even think about it that much, and we don't really want to share it with people who don't know you. I pray this morning that we would just remember that if nothing else, when you shed your blood, it wasn't just the ending of your life. It was the start of a new promise, a covenant, a commitment that you made to us, that when we come to you, you will not cast us out. So as we drink the cup, we remember you, Jesus, and we're thankful. my own. Through Christ my own. In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. He said, this cup is a new covenant, which is in my blood. It's for you. Do this. And remember. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes. Sheeta's going to keep playing. If you want to sit here for a few more minutes and continue to do a work of thanksgiving in your heart, feel free to do that. At some point, I think Darren might come up and lead us in a benediction. I don't know. We'll let the Holy Spirit take the service from here.
That's the best community I've ever had. You can't hear the old hymns.